Hello and welcome to another edition of the Masterclass. And today what we're going to do is review the meeting from Flemington and have a look at some of the key races that were conducted up in Sydney. Joining us from Ratings to Win is Paul Daly. How are you, Paul?
Good morning, Nadia, and great day's racing Saturday. Obviously big races both in Sydney and Melbourne, with Melbourne hosting the Guineas as their feature race.
Exactly. Look, just on Flemington, there's been a lot of talk around about some of the early speeds of these races. They look like they were running along at pretty quick tempos in some of the events.
Yeah, look, certainly some of them. I mean, you know, we saw the two-year-old Festival of Racing Stakes and the Royal Higgins. They went out pretty slow, and as did the Bob Voisted, but certainly Grunts, Australian Guineas, they ran along at a very fast pace, about 10 lengths fast for the first 1,000 metres, which is certainly moving along. So, yeah, there was a mixture of pace scenarios on Saturday, and obviously that influenced results as well.
Okay, well, let's have a look at that first race, which was for two-year-olds. It was the Festival of Racing Stakes down the straight, 1,000 metres, and the market was bang on here because the money came for the winner, Nomathage. Was there anything really to note out of this race?
Look, she went to sort of near her rating, within about a length of her debut rating at Flemington up the straight, in terms of performance figures. In terms of times, around about the same as what she ran when she won on debut. So, look, probably a little bit of scope to improve there, Nadia, but, there was, half a dozen or so within two lengths. And, that sort of obviously puts a little bit of a question mark over the form, and some of these were obviously first starters and so forth. So, we'll learn more as time goes on, but nothing wrong with the performance.
We got a race two, the Roy Higgins Quality over 2,600 metres. They absolutely walked in this race, so it's sort of hard to determine what the strength will be here, but, they went slow.
Oh, they did. They certainly the slowest run race of the day, and, you're probably talking about, 17 lengths or so below average, for the first part of the race or first section of the race to the 600. So that made a massive difference on the overall time. It meant that they couldn't run time. Overall, they went about 11 lengths below what they would standard for a race of that type. So there's not much to learn from the figures there, Nadia. And obviously horses like Aloft and Fanatic and the third horse there, Amito, they've all got improvement towards their best figures, but that race isn't much of a guide.
We look at race three, Fillies and Mares event over 1,100 metres. Well, this is the horse the money come for. Here, the champ, the eventual winner, a four-year-old mare who is likely to head to Adelaide, maybe contest a race like the Sangster coming up through their carnival, but was impressive winning first up.
Yeah, it went to a new peak this time, Nadia, first up, which obviously worries me from a second up viewpoint, whether or not the horse can regress or does regress, but yeah, certainly he's got the ability and he's reasonably lightly raced and has scope going forward. The second horse, Fragonard, also hit a marginal new peak in this race, so look, the figures aren't outstanding by any means. They're respectable, certainly, and these horses are obviously sort of in that grade, and they can actually find improvement, but how much is the question.
And it was also a very hard race to assess too, and we've often discussed this in some of our previous masterclasses, where these races where you've got horses resuming from breaks, they can be very hard to determine what type of level they're going to hit first up.
Well, when you've got so many of them, a lot of your assessment is based on guesswork. It may be calculated guesswork, but you can never know for sure how horses are first up. And, in races where most of the runners are resuming, it's problematical, obviously, one, to do the form, but two, to be confident in your betting decisions.
We look at race four, group three, race 1,400 metres. Flippant was able to find the top. They went a pretty steady speed in this race, which was somewhat of a shock for me.
Yeah, they did. The first two favourites ran 1-2. The second horse, Oregon's Day, went to a new peak. Under the conditions there, and Flippant sort of ran respectably and within about a length of her best. So, look, performs okay. Nothing to write home about, I don't think, overall, but the time was pretty good, and obviously that means something. But these fillies and mares races, they can sometimes take them in turns a bit.
We have a look at race number five. This was a race that was set out at a strong speed, and hence the late sectionals were quite low. But this horse for mine looks like it's reached a new peak, has it, Big Sir?
Yeah, it has. Mind you, we've only seen it four times, I think, or four or five times. In terms of this preparation, it hit a new peak and won okay, and there's nothing wrong with the figures, but obviously got conditions to suit, and there's obviously some margin there. But when the second horse is 14-1, then you've got 20-1 the third, and sort of 14s and 20s and 20s. None of the fancy runners came to the fore here, and that puts a little bit of a question mark on the form for mine.
Understand. We look at the Shaftesbury Avenue Group 3 1400 metre race. Nozomi was able to win this. The market told us that the imported horse Poetic Dream was the one they wanted to be on, who was resuming, but this was another challenging race to assess due to so many first up. But this horse has got a pretty good record fresh. I think one last preparation first up at huge odds.
It was about 150, 200 to 1 or something, I think, from memory. The figures that it produced first up this time was slightly better than what it did last preparation. For connections, it was a good effort, and they got away with it. We've got five runners within about a length, which concerns me, and the winner was sort of about 20 to 1. So, once again, a little bit on the question mark in the form going first. Violate, however you want to pronounce it, it went to a slight new peak here as well. The import sort of ran a reasonable race, being beaten 1.1 lengths, and that rating sort of good enough for your average Saturday class race.
And then we go to the big one, which was the Australian Guineas, the Group 1 race for the three-year-olds over the mile. Grunt was able to put two wins together now this preparation, and he looks like he's well and truly on the up. But let's talk a bit about the speed here, Paul. How fast did they go?
Look, they went about 10 lengths or so, and these are all based on official times at this stage, Nadia. I'm waiting on provision times to actually sort of get a proper handle. But assuming that they're right, they've gone about 10 lengths fast the first 1,000 metres, which is incredibly quick for these three-year-olds. Obviously, that sort of set the race up to run fast time, and it was the fastest overall on the day. And look, the winner, Grunt, put in the second best performance on the day, and for a three-year-old, that's a pretty good effort. So both the first and second horses, Grunt and Peaceful State, they're genuine Saturday class horses, and where they go to from here, I don't know, but I'm suggesting that they might both be able to go to their four-year-old season and be competitive at group level.
We go to race eight. Listed 1,000 metre Bob Hoisted. Secret Agenda won this, defied a massive drift in betting.
Look, Secret Agenda's put in the best performance on the day, Nadia, in terms of performance ratings. She did a good job carrying about 3.5 kilos overweight for age, so it was her best effort. I'm Wesley, the Tasmanian horse. It's been an improving horse throughout the last preparation, and has now resumed here with a new peak. This horse has obviously got a lot of ability also, and then you've got others like Crystal Dreamer and so forth that are normally competitive as well. So Secret Agenda, it'll be interesting to see what it does second up. This was a fairly long spell it came off, 287 days, so I wouldn't be surprised if the horse regressed from that first up rating, and it is up the straight and it is 1,000 metres, so be careful sort of factoring in too much unless it gets races under similar circumstances.
And we go to the last. This was won by Scarecrow, who was back from the CS Hayes and was well in the market.
Look, the figures here aren't anything special, Nadia. I mean, they're not too bad, I suppose, but the pay shape of this race certainly favoured those running on also. And the 30-1 pop running second there sort of puts a little bit of a mark on the form, and the 16-1 third place getter. But a reasonable performance, and for a three-year-old open, the figures aren't too bad overall. But I don't think I'd be getting carried away with it.
Okay, so that's a look at the meeting at Flemington. You thought Secret Agenda was the best performance of the day?
Well, in terms of figures, Nadia, I 1,000 metre form is 1,000 metre form. You can't really take it anywhere else. But certainly in 1,000 metre races, and certainly races up the straight, It's a new peak for that horse, which suggests it's come back well. Whether or not it actually is able to sort of continue those figures through the preparation, I'm not sure. But definitely in terms of promise, I think Grunt Peace will stay. And even horses like I'm Wesley, they're certainly promising horses. And the first two, Grunt and Peaceful State, I wouldn't be surprised if they went into their four-year-old season and were competitive at group level.
Let's have a look at the feature races from Randwick on the weekend. We start off with race three. This is the group two race for the two-year-olds. It was the Skyline Stakes, and it was won by the Waterhouse Train Santos.
Yeah, probably lucky to get away with this, Nadia. You know, I wanted to sell my ticket out about 20 times up the straight. But it was one of those races, and it looked like it was gone for all money. This was a horse that had to be replated, which I don't like, and by that stage the money was on. It was just a matter of whether I traded out or kept the position. So I decided to go with it and got away with the win. But it rated down on its best figure, which was the first up win. So whether or not it can improve and sort of be competitive in the slipper, I don't know. But certainly for races like the Sires or the Champagne, this horse would have to be one of the leading chances, you'd think. But yeah, we might see an improved effort in the slipper, and it's just interesting as to what Gay does with it now.
Exactly. The Sweet Embrace was the race for the two-year-old fillies, and we had the Melbourne horse who failed to get a run in the Diamond after being an emergency. Seabrook, the winner, didn't have any luck at all first up from a break.
No, it should have won that race for sure first up. Look, it was certainly aided by the pattern here, Nadia. There was a bit of a wind around Saturday, an east nor-easterly that certainly sort of came to the fore, you know, for the second part of the program, which sort of this race fell into. And, you know, it got to the right part of the track, I felt, and was reasonably advantaged. So whilst it improved its figures from Melbourne, it's not surprising. I'm saying that the Melbourne run, when you adjust it for the interference cause, probably rated similar to what it did in Sydney here. Fiesta is an honest horse. This was another horse that had to be replated into the abyss, sat wide with the blinkers on and ran a competitive race. Setsuna had its first go at the 1200 metres and ran respectively as well. So there's very good money for Sweet Ava in this race, Nadia. So it'll be interesting to see what that horse does going forward. The disappointment for me was Adamina, the stablemate for Sweet Ava, Gerald Ryan. It sort of gave up very quickly, but it didn't really have conditions to suit. And of course, the worst performance was Satin Slipper, who was in the market there as second favourite.
The Liverpool City Cup was a Group 3 race over 1300. The Bjorn Baker train Crack Me Up was off of a bit of a freshen and too strong at big odds.
Yeah, look, Crack Me Up's a Brisbane horse that was trained by Liam Birchley, and Bjorn obviously only just got this horse very recently, and so probably it already had residual fitness in it. This horse is a horse that's always been capable of finishing its races off very hard. It's got a powerful short sprint, and it got the conditions to suit Saturday, being able to get to the right part of the track. Look, care to think, I didn't think it was the best rider of Jeff Lloyd's. I thought he made a couple of poor decisions, but it was gallant in defeat, and certainly improved. Burning Passions come back very well, it would appear, as has Egg Tart, who has now recorded her best figures. So, look, I think all those horses can be competitive at the right level. And there was a bit of speed on here. And as I say, I think Care to Think was probably the horse that should have won.
Well, we go to the Chipping Norton at Group 1 level over 1,600 metres. And, Winx, she was just too good for them. How did she sort of go ratings-wise in this race, Paul?
Look, on my figures, Nadia, she's come up as a provisional 109.3, which is within about a length of her best run last preparation when she went to Flemington there and won. So, look, she's certainly come back well. I mean, there was obviously some concern with her going into this race first up, but she'd had that barrier trial at Randwick, and, look, she had conditions to suit. She got to the right part of the track. Obviously, a bit of softness in the track didn't deter from her chances, and there was plenty of speed there to enable her to do what she does best. But she's just such a wonderful horse for racing, and just a great horse to, you know, obviously watch race, but not a betting proposition. Prized Icon, did a reasonable job to run second, and interestingly, they bet about $2.30 odd with the Winx out market for Prized Icon, which I thought was pretty good value there on Betfair. So Hopefully a few punters were able to sort of to snabble up that as an option if they were betting in the race. But outside that, Libran's come back reasonably well, I think, and the others, I don't think there's too much to say, but look, she's a champion.
We have a look at the surround. Look, Scholes, she's a Melbourne filly. She was 3 weeks between runs from her first up performance. She's just tough. She always gets under my guard.
Yeah, look, you know, I had a bit of a debate with somebody on Twitter over the weekend about this horse, and look, she does seem to be a horse that races best when she's outside other horses, and that first up run, which was pretty plain, saw her, you know, sort of back on the inside, sort of cluttered up with horses there, and that may have been against what she likes to do. She went to the trial since then, of course, and turned up here and was able to get the outside lead and win, which on the day wasn't too bad an effort. And the tricky thing is, as a punter, Nadia, is what do you do with these horses? Because she had ratings that would clearly put her in this race and make her favourite on my markets, considering the conditions. So I could have had her anywhere between her, if I used her second up run last preparation over the 1400, I could have had her at even money and anywhere up to about 16-1. So with those types of horses, when there's such a lot of guesswork involved, you're better off just putting them to market and make sure that you save on them if you're betting in the race. I was against Elise just purely on price. The horse I backed was Shamook, who probably wasn't ideally suited, you know, from gate one and the conditions on Saturday, but did a fair job for dead heating for third place. So going forward, I mean, Torval's racing really well, continues to be competitive. Rim Ram ran a fair race. But overall, though, the figures for this race were sort of just slightly above average for what you'd expect.
Okay. What about the Guy Walter Stakes, the Group 2 over 1400 for mares, won by Dixie Blossom?
Well, Dixie Blossom's was, you know, the horse that was going to get the right conditions here in terms of the pattern. I mean, she's so competitive and, you know, she races well fresh as well. And, look, has obviously come back well. Raymond is also racing very well. There was a surprise push against Raymond late in the betting. And that probably was as a result of the heavy support for the New Zealand mare, France Lata, or Frank Galata or something. And, look, you know, it was very well backed, and I was surprised that it got to $4. Yeah, for me, I'm not sure about it. X-Dine is a horse that just doesn't run 1400, in my opinion. Slightly Sweet went okay. Danish Trist, I thought, was fairly poorly ridden and can improve too with the right race and perhaps a change in jockey. But look, overall, Dixie Blossoms went well, within about half a length to a length of what she can go. So she looks like she's in for a decent prep.
Outstanding. Paul, we'll do it again next week. Thanks for that and good luck on the punt.
Thanks, Nadia. You too.
There is Paul Daly from Ratings to Win, reviewing the key races from the weekend.